Look around. What do you see? Cars. Lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan, leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped, self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars, used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader. Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and this is Short Stuff. And this is a hoax edition, which we're starting to slowly assemble into a Short Stuff suite.
The year 1810, the month November, the day possibly unknown.
Right. And on this particular day, if we zoom over to London and then zoom in a little more into a wealthy section of London and then even further into a place called Berners Street, we're going to find a 22-year-old, a guy who I would have liked to have been friends with, named Theodore Hook. He was a bon vivant. He was known to be mischievous, incredibly intelligent, very charming kind of guy. The kind of person who would just show up on a stranger's doorstep and start talking to them in the hopes that he would be invited to dinner just to see if he could do it. Just a neat guy all around. And he's walking down the street with a friend of his named Samuel Beasley, right?
That's right. And this bon vivant, which I'm not even sure what that is. What does that mean?
It's somebody who likes the good life. They like to party. They don't want to work. They just want to have fun.
Oh, like us.
Kind of. I think we work a little too much for that, but yes.
My daughter, one of her favorite songs is Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And she looked at Emily one day and said, I feel sorry for boys. They just don't want to have fun. And it made me realize she had the name wrong. I guess she thought it was just girls want to have fun, right. Not girls just want to have fun.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Like, boys have fun, too.
Sure.
So they were walking down the street that day in November of 1810, these two boys.
Right. And they just wanted to have fun.
The bon vivant Hook pointed to a house, which was Berners Street, 54 Berners Street, and said, hey, I'll wager within a week I can make that house the most talked about house in London. And Beasley said, you're on.
I'm sure.
So they had a bet.
I'm sure our British listeners are like, wow, that was dead on.
That was purposely bad, everybody. My accents are usually much better.
Yeah, they are. Agreed. But we'll give you a pass because of that. Too bad they're not German, right?
Yeah.
So Beasley said, you're on. I don't know why you would even make that bet. It's such a preposterous bet that I can't possibly lose. So we took that bet. And a week later, about 7 in the morning at 54 Berners Street. The date was November 10th.
Oh, we have the date.
Yeah, but we didn't know when they were walking down the street. It was sometime about a week earlier.
Yeah, I'm going to say November 3rd.
Sure, let's go with that. So this is November 10th, and a chimney sweep shows up at 54 Berners Street and knocks on the door and says, I'm here to clean Mrs. Tottenham's chimney. And the servant who answered the door, because Mrs. Tottenham was a fabulously wealthy widow.
Sure.
And the servants would be the ones answering the door, said that we don't need a chimney sweep. You're mistaken. Please go away. Shut the door. And that was that, right?
That's right. Another different chimney sweep would show up, and then another, and then they kind of kept coming. And it was a rush of chimney sweeps. And you might think, you know, that's probably a pretty good joke. Much like the prank today where you might order a pizza to someone's house. Apparently, just calling like a chimney sweep or some other service to a house was a joke of the day. And the servants thought, oh, that's very funny. That's great. But that was not the end of it. And that is not why people still tell this story 200 years later. So perhaps we should take a break a little early because that's a great cliffhanger and tell you what happened next.
Okay.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
this road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tail.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuff you should know.
Okay, Chuck, so it's time to unhang off of the cliff. And like you said, we would not be talking about this hoax if it had just been a handful of chimney sweeps that showed up that day. But those chimney sweeps were just a little trickle that were a foreshadowing of the deluge to come. And as the morning started to begin in earnest, tons and tons and tons of people showed up, all of whom had been summoned to 54 Berners Street within the last month or so on this particular day, November 10th, to carry out some sort of business or another. And the sheer volume of how many people were tricked into showing up is why we're still talking about this hoax 200 years later.
Yeah, it's at this point, I wish we could hire that fast-talking guy from the TV commercials in the 80s.
The FedEx guy?
To just read through these, but I'll do some, then why don't you just follow in after?
Okay,
how does that sound?
Sure, it sounds great.
All right, so here's who came by the house that day. Male midwives, tooth pullers, miniature painters, artists, auctioneers, grocers, textile merchants, horse-drawn taxis, mourning coaches, poultry sellers, an undertaker with a coffin made to measure, six men, it says six men bearing an organ, that could be a very dirty thing.
No.
Wine porters, barbers with wigs, and you can take over.
Opticians, coal wagons, upholsterers, pianos, linen, jewelry, people bearing furniture, doctors, attorneys. Apparently at 5 p.m., a whole bunch of servants showed up because they were told that there was a job to fill. And 50 different bakers showed up with 2,500 raspberry tarts between them. That is just
this is a sampling. Quite a joke.
Yes, that's just a sampling of who was there. So you can guess in very short order, the streets, Berners Street in particular, but also streets around it, became completely thronged with not just like taxis and carts of coal and like all of the tradespeople showing up, but also gawkers who came out to say like, what is going on? And so the police arrived pretty quickly and had to shut the whole street down.
That's right. This prank even got the mayor involved. Lord Mayor London got a note that said that, and again, Mrs. Tottenham was, you know, a woman of means, and I feel like somebody that would have had some sort of political influence. Mm-hmm. But there was a note supposedly from Mrs. Tottenham that said she was summoned to appear before him, but she was confined to her room by sickness and requested that the mayor come to her house, mm-hmm. which he did.
And also, not just the mayor was roped into this. The Archbishop of Canterbury showed up, the governor of the Bank of England, the chairman of the East India Company, and the
crazy.
Duke of York, all duped, along with all of those scores and scores of tradespeople, showing up at 54 Berners Street on November 10th. So you can imagine, like, this was a pretty big deal. The police were finally able to disperse the crowd by evening, maybe by night. And the next day, Samuel Beasley knew for sure that he had lost that bet.
That's right. Newspapers were reporting it all over England. There were annual registers that said it was one of the notable events of London for the whole year for 1810. It is still talked about today as part of British lore and pop culture. And, you know, of course, they wanted to find out who did this, but officially they never found out that it was Theodore Hook. Isn't that right?
Yeah. It's widely assumed then and now that it was Theodore Hook. And he was the kind of person who would do this, but also he wrote a semi-autobiographical novel about 25 years after. It was called Gilbert Gurney. And in it, one of the characters says, I'm the one, I did it. I pulled off the Berners Street hoax and then rattles off some of like the greatest hits. So people are like, yes, obviously it was Theodore Hook, but he was never like prosecuted or anything like that because no one could ever prove he did it.
Yeah. And this is the part that really impressed me was I thought when I had read the initial review of this that, you know, if he says that a week later, it's game on. Like, that's a lot of work to get that many people.
Right.
It was a long con. Apparently, he had little minions working for him, and they wrote up to 4,000 letters in weeks, who knows, maybe even months leading up to this. So he had this thing planned out all along and, you know, purposely brought his friend by that house once everything was in place and said, hey, I bet you a guinea that I can get make this house the most talked about house. So it was all pre-planned, which makes it even better.
It really does. And then Hook wasn't really picking on Mrs. Tottenham for any particular reason. Most people say that he had no acquaintance with her whatsoever, that she was a random victim. And so this prank went down in history. I mean, like, people are still, again, talking about it 200 years later. We're talking about it 200 years later. But there's a twist to this whole thing too, Chuck, isn't there?
Yeah, the twist is that, and I'm not sure I buy this, is that it may not have actually even happened, and that the real hoax was that Theodore Hook made all this stuff up, and it's not like a newspaper reporters from all over England descended upon this to witness this with their own eyes. They heard reports of this and wrote about it. So it was a hoax on a hoax, and it never really happened to begin with.
Yeah, there's some historians who believe that, a hoax of a hoax, which, however it happened, if it happened the way that it supposedly did, as reported in the papers, awesome. If he managed to pull the same thing off without actually doing it, I think that might be even more awesome, Chuck.
I'm Fox Mulder here. I want to believe so bad.
Okay, but you just do that because there's no reason not to, all right?
Okay.
Chuck said, okay, everybody, that means Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.